Open your Bibles to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 2. I had an idea to break off a big passage today, but that's not going to happen. So we're going to break off half a big passage today, just for the sake of time, and we don't want to rush this. So we're going to look at a topic that's so very important for each and one of our lives. And obviously the Bible's full of everything in the Bible is important, but this passage that we're going to see today is super important. And while you're turning there, I'm just going to quickly review from a couple weeks ago when we were in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we talked about our faithfulness to the gospel. And we looked at our own lives and looked at, how am I being faithful to the gospel? How is my lifestyle, how is my actions, how is what I'm doing in the world today, how is it showing faithfulness to the gospel? How is it being faithful to the gospel? And how are people hearing the gospel because of that? And because God has called us to be preachers of the word, we need to be proclaiming his word, right? Shouting from the rooftop the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. We need to be telling people, hey, Jesus Christ came to save your soul, right? He came to and died and was buried and rose again so you can have new life. And we need to be speaking that. It doesn't have to be from a pulpit on Sunday mornings. In fact, it should be every other day, right? We come together, and yes, we're going to, the gospel is why we're together. But we, as the body of believers, need to be faithful to the gospel. You know, the gospel never changes. Yeah. Mankind tries to change the gospel. Turn on the TV. You'll hear all kinds of gospels. Open your Bible, though. You'll get the true gospel. That's the problem. Mankind is trying to change it. And mankind is trying to stray away from God's word and dumb it down because we're just dumb people, right? No, we're not. God has preserved his word perfectly, and there's no reason for us to change that. He changes us. We're the problem. We don't need to change him. We need to allow him to change us. I don't understand God's word. Ask for understanding. God, I'm just confused. I don't understand. Show me. Make it clear to me. And you know what? That's his will. And the Bible says if you ask according to his will, he hears you. And man, he's going to show you and give you understanding. And some of us learn faster than others. And some of us, it might take our whole entire life to understand one passage. That's okay. Be diligent, as we're going to see today. We just need to be faithful. The true word, just as God preserved it. God promises to never leave us nor forsake us. But we as believers, like I said, tend to stray away. And it's because the world and the things that are in the world, man, they're just super attractive. They're sexy, right? And I don't mean that in a bad term, but they are, because everything's shiny, right? Everything's got lights and everything's got, you need this and you need this. And we are like, well, I guess I do. So we stray away. We're like, God, I'll be back, you know, time out. And before you know it, we're so off in the weeds that we can't see the road. Paul tells Timothy in the text that, you know, if we suffer, we shall reign with him. In verse 12, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. And if we deny him, he will also deny us. Good news and bad news, right? We only want to hear the good news. Okay, God, I'm going to suffer, but I'm going to be with you. But when I deny you, you deny me. Oftentimes, when suffering comes, we're like, nope, I'm not doing it. And we begin to deny God. Because we don't want to suffer, because it's painful, and we don't want pain in our lives, and we don't want all of the things that persecution and tribulation brings into our lives. And man, there's so many that are not desiring to suffer for Jesus, but we should, and we should be willing to suffer to make Jesus famous. And we stood out in the midst of, I don't know, a couple thousand people this weekend, and it wasn't so suffering, right? God gave us beautiful weather. It was, y'all, it's the 4th of July weekend. It should be like 150 outside, right? We should have been drenched in sweat, but there was a little bit of a breeze and we had nice shade. But you know what? We did have to suffer the flesh, because sometimes it's painful to engage in a conversation with somebody. Sometimes it's painful just to simply hand them a Bible tract or say, hey, do you want a bottle of water? Sometimes it's just so painful and we have to suffer the flesh and say, God, you have me here for a purpose. And I want to be faithful. People are dying and going to hell in dump truck loads. And we're called to be faithful with the message to set the captive free. Man, I'm so stinking excited about VBS. It's one day, okay? Because we're learning, right? One day is perfect, if you ask me. But I actually took my family to this very escape room. And in Branson last year, I don't know if it's still there or not, but we did the Be Set Free, Paul and Silas escape room, and how we made it out, right? We had to tap into our little bit of biblical knowledge that we had, and it's just so awesome. It's so awesome because that same message that set me free sets you free. That same message that sets you free will set the captive free. So today we're going to look at this passage. I'm going to read 2 Timothy 2, 14 through 18, but we're not going that far. We're only going to go through 14 and 15 today, just for the sake of time. But I want to look into a key that allows us to be in tune with what God has called us to do and God has called us to be. So read this with me, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14. Of these things, of what he had spoke about before, of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. In verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their words will eateth thus a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already and overthroweth the faith of some. Let's pray. Father God, we pray today as we begin to look into this passage you have for us today. God, I pray, God, you would just enlighten us. Father, that your word would be so clear, because it is. It's so perfect. There's nothing more clear. And God, I pray that you would just get the fog out of our lives. And God, that we would just be just sponges soaking it up today and allowing it to go straight to where it belongs, right into our heart. And God, that we would take that and we would use it to glorify you. Our lives would be changed in a way that can magnify you and glorify you in this world that we live in today. God, give us opportunities to do that. God, give us opportunities to apply what we're learning here in this passage. And Father, just to be able, we must first apply it before we can teach it. So God, we're thankful for just your perfect timing, how you instruct us to do things decently and in order. And Father, nothing is by happenstance. It's all perfect by you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So as I was studying this passage over the past couple weeks, God brought to remembrance, hold your place there because we're going to be looking at that, but also turn to the book of James. And I just want to read a passage out of the book of James here. It reminded me of a few things. James chapter 3. Where do I want to start? It would have helped if I'd have wrote down the... I'm so sorry. Let's read James chapter 3. My brethren, be not masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man not in offend not in word, the same is perfect, a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth, and they may obey us as we turn about their whole body. Behold, is also the ships, which, though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and of bird and of serpent and of the things of the sea is in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame it. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, with which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, be olive and berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endureth which with knowledge among you. Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and evil and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy, and to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace to them that make peace. So you all have read a chapter out of the Bible today. Hallelujah, right? And I just found my reference as I was reading, and we were supposed to just look at verses 6 through 10, but we obviously needed to hear it all. So, man, so, you know, while we can't prevent hurtful and misleading words, we can prepare to deal with them when they come. You know, we can't prevent, okay, I'm going to go share the gospel. I'm going to stand on the corner of 3rd and Walnut, right out here. And I'm just going to share the gospel with everybody that comes by. Or I'm just going to just do whatever that God has told me to do. And you know what? We cannot prevent what people are going to say to us. What they're going to yell from their window, what they're going to, whatever. What they're going to blast on the Facebook. It doesn't really matter. We can't prevent that. But we can be prepared. We can be prepared how to deal with them when they come. The greater defense against such attack is a thorough understanding of the Word of God. It's to understand God has a purpose, right? And He allows things to happen in our lives so that we can be changed by them, so that we can grow, right? So that we can get ready. We need to be getting ready for the conversation that we're going to have at 2 o'clock this afternoon. We should be getting ready for that. How do we do that? Well, we get in God's Word. And we're like, God, just show me. Show me something. Give me something. Whatever it is that I can share with someone today at my family gathering or whatever it is. And then give me boldness, God, to do that. Oftentimes we get prepared for battle like we're going to fight them with what they're fighting with. Right? Because that's what the devil wants. He wants us to engage in a screaming match. He wants us to engage in foolish activity. He wants us to act like a fool. But we have power to say, nah, no, I'm not going to do that. No, God, you've made me a new creature, and I don't act like that fool all the time, right? If we're honest. We have to have an understanding of God's Word. In order to overcome, we must be rooted and grounded in the Word. As we see from Paul to Timothy. And I want us to think about this today. The title of this message is to be settled in the Word. And we talk about this all the time, okay? We talk about being in God's Word all the time. And we will never stop. So if you get tired of hearing, I need to read my Bible, you're at the wrong place, because we want and expect everyone to be in God's Word, right? This isn't a puppet show. We want everyone to be in God's Word and growing and learning and so that we can apply that. So my first point here out of verse 14, as it said, of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to subverting of the hearers. There's a danger. Point one, a danger of pointless strife. And I want to break this down just chunk by chunk today. And we'll spend quite a bit of time in 14, and then we'll get through 15 as well. And that's as far as I'm going to take us today. So Paul warns Timothy of the dangers of pointless strife that are often prevalent among the church. And oftentimes so if you were to read this, you would think automatically, okay, this is when I'm going out and talking to lost people. This is when I'm going out and sharing the gospel with somebody, and they want to just engage in pointless arguments. But you know what? This happens among church folk too. We're going to see three things under this point here. And the first one is the challenge in the beginning of 14. Of these things, put them in remembrance. We all love a good challenge. Well, some of us love a good challenge. And we see Paul encourage Timothy to offer positive reinforcement here as we look at this text. And he was to remind them to abide faithful in Christ, to speak truth. Timothy needed to remember what he had been taught, right? Because as we learn, as people teach us things, as God shows us things in His Word, oftentimes we think we forget. And we need to go back in the archives, and we need to dig deep, and we need the Holy Spirit to reveal and remind us, Yes, you have learned this. Yes, you do understand this. If Timothy was going to be successful at discipling the church, the believers here in the faith, and growing and maturing in the Lord, then many of these issues they faced. So if Timothy was successful in discipling, he was successful in teaching and instilling God's word and seeing mature believers being grown, many of these issues here are going to disappear. And we see that, right? As a babe comes in or a lost person comes in, they surrender their life to Jesus Christ straight out of the world. Okay? Maybe that's you today. Maybe you are here today and you don't know Jesus Christ. You're straight out of the world. You know nothing but the world. Maybe you know a little bit of Bible because somebody has shared that with you. But you don't know much. And you don't know Jesus. And then you meet Jesus. So Jesus entered into your life. You are changed. You're a new creature. But you still, all you know is you know what just saved you, but you know all of the old stuff that has been in your life. So if no one comes alongside you and you don't begin to learn and grow, you're going to be a believer that just stays like a baby that knows nothing except for the world. You know Jesus Christ died and was buried and rose again, and you believe that by faith, and you placed your faith and trust in that, but then you're not going to grow. Get in the Word, have someone disciple you. Timothy was a pastor of the church in Ephesus, and he was busy, right? He had all different types and shapes and sizes of people in the church. Some saved, some lost. That's a healthy church, okay? That's what we want. We want babies. We want mature folk. We want a whole mix. That's what makes up the body of Christ. And Timothy, if he was going to be successful, man, he needed to be discipling. He needed to be instilling truth in these people. And then all of this manure, right, minutia that is going on, it will just work itself out, right? It'll be pushed out the door, and you can only imagine what that looks like. Because God's word, man, it's what purges that stuff. Do you know that many of the issues that we face today, in the church today, are caused by spiritual immaturity? They're caused by spiritual immaturity, just not being mature. And spiritually, we're just a bunch of babies sometimes. So by abiding faithful in Christ, it's going to bring a result. It's going to bring a result. We're challenged here, just as Timothy was challenged. And while this is not going to solve all the problems that we face every day, it will result in profitable growth for the entire body. So we need to put these things in remembrance, okay? Even if you don't remember, but just a thimble full, hold on to that thimble because you're going to need it. Because when things come along, you're going to need that thimble full of truth, and you're going to need to remember that. Maybe today there's going to be a conversation after church, and you're going to be like, I don't want to engage in this in the flesh, right? Maybe you're going to do some counseling and you're like, well, I'm not a very good counselor. Just remember truth, okay? Put these things in remembrance. Remember what God says, not what your flesh says. Because oftentimes when we engage with somebody, man, we just want to engage in the flesh and we want to tickle ears or we want to punish someone or whatever it is. When we turn to the Word for answers, God will show us. But here's the thing. When we turn to the world for answers, you know what it does? The same thing. It's going to show us. We go to God and we say, God, I need answers. I need you to show me and direct my life and grow me. And he's like, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. This is exactly perfect. This is my will. And then we're like, well, let me taste the world. And we go to the world and we say, world, I want to see what this is all about. And the world's like, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. This is what it's all about. And it's a dangerous place. And then oftentimes we liken it to standing on both sides of the fence. That's a painful place. And that's not somewhere that we want to be. It's dangerous. This verse says that Timothy was to put into remembrance. Church, we are to be putting in so that we can pull from the vault. Because there's a lot of stuff that we're putting in that is no profit. There's a lot of just garbage that's going in all the time. It's filling the vault up, filling the vault up, filling the vault up. The Word of God is what we need in the vault. It's what's profitable. It's what changes us. And like I said, we'll preach until that we're blue in the face the importance of reading and memorizing God's Word because we need it. And I want you to think about something for one moment. What if someone came in here this morning and they took all of our Bibles from us? Good luck, right? But what if they did? Okay, in all of reality, what if someone came in and said, I'm taking all of your Bibles, I'm taking them? Some would be like, fine, take it. And then you had no more Bible. Took your cell phone, took every opportunity that you had to be able to read God's word. Would it affect your life? This is a personal question that you need to answer. Would it affect your life if someone came and took your Bible? Now, if we were talking guns, people would be fired up right now, right? You ain't taking my guns. What about your Bible? What if they were coming to do that? There's a difference between guns and Bible. I love my guns. Okay, I'm not saying that. There's a difference between guns and Bibles. Okay, guns are physical. Yeah, you take them. Obviously, I can't shoot them. Come take my Bible, and I've spent my whole entire spiritual life putting it in here to get to here. Take it. Because the Holy Spirit of God, God Himself, dwells inside of me. And if you think taking it from me is going to end my relationship with Jesus Christ, you're a fool. That's why it's so important. Church, there's people in this world that that is happening to. There's people in this world that do not even have a Bible. They don't have access to the Bible in their language, right? But man, if they can just get a little thimbleful, they're like, hallelujah. Do we have enough locked away in the vault? Right there in your heart, not in your head, right? Head knowledge, man, we know what happens to that. I forget stuff 3 minutes after I met a lot of people. And if I, praise the Lord, Travis is writing names down this weekend because I'm like, I forgot their name. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Dwell in you richly. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, church. Psalm 119:11, the word of I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Some of us, if God was to take the Bible away, we would not know anything. And then what you know what we would do? We'd just go running right off into the world. The word of I hid in my heart brings results. That's why we have to get it there. 2 Timothy 3:16, we'll get there in a month or so. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. God's word is the most profitable thing. Not profitable like we think, like a fat bank account, like some stock market thing, but it is profitable because it's what changes lives. It's what saves souls. Going on under our second subpoint of this is the charge. And charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit. Timothy was urged to charge the church regarding strife resulting from words of no profit. And what does that mean? Apparently there was debate and senseless arguing among some that were within the church there. They were arguing over little things of no importance. Maybe it was like, we want the walls painted beige. And then these were like, we want the carpet painted or colored this color. Senseless, pointless, right? Okay, we want the walls to be painted a decent color, but who cares? Right? Who? Well, I want tacos for fellowship dinner. Well, I want spaghetti. It's just, see how ridiculous it sounds. Church, it happens. It was happening then, and it's happening now. Okay? Who cares? Really? Who cares? Some people like, well, I care. Well, hallelujah. Maybe you need to be on a committee that you can make that decision, right? So maybe that's why we have those kind of people. I don't know. But this was going on here. And Paul's like, listen, Timothy, you need to get control of this. And charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit. Arguing about senseless, pointless garbage. Timothy would have to deal with these issues, but he was not expected to engage in such senseless debate, though. And here's the thing, no matter the matter of the gospel and spiritual growth among the church could not be neglected or abandoned for unprofitable debate, and that's what Satan wants us to do. He wants us to argue over tacos or spaghetti, because then we're like, well, where's the gospel in that, right? Where's God's word in that? Well, I don't know, maybe in my side of my taco shell. No, it's just pointless. It means nothing. It means absolutely nothing. And it's a trap. And we've all stepped into that trap before. And we're like, oh, What have I done? Or maybe some of us are like, I love being in this trap because I just love doing that. And there's people that are like that. And man, God can change you. He wants to change you. This was more than likely being brought about by those that were that had like infiltrated the church with false doctrine. And the danger is that they can and will drag believers into the trap as well. Because it's a trap from the devil. And he wants to sow discord among the church. And unfortunately, like I said, it remains in the church today. There's many doctrines being promoted, and many of them don't line up with the teaching of Scripture. And I'm not saying a new life, because we hold fast to God's Word. We must know what we believe, is the thing. We must know what we believe. You say, what do you believe? I believe the Bible. Do you know the Bible? Do you know why you believe the Bible? Right? We're New Life Baptist Church. Why do you call yourself New Life Baptist Church? Do you know? We need to know that. We must understand that. We must understand that we just believe God's Word and we don't need to change it. But arguing with those with alternative motives is never profitable. If they have an agenda in their mind, you will never convince them to abandon their pursuit in exchange for truth. Ever. You can argue. Anybody ever argue with somebody till you're blue in the face? Right? It's a saying, but my goodness, it's like beating your head against a wall. Eventually, you get tired of beating your head against the wall because it hurts. So these pointless conversations, right? These words to no profit, man, just don't engage. Heated debates will never win anyone to Christ. You ever shared the gospel with somebody and you like feel that fire? Like, I know the answers if you would just listen and quit being stupid, whatever, right? And then you go from walking in the Spirit to trying to share truth in the flesh. Now, you might as well just walk away. Rather than senseless debate, we must be grounded in the Word, able to spot false doctrine and heresy when it's presented. And you know what? These attacks and these words of no profit and just the ridiculousness of this is just going to get greater and greater as we draw closer and closer to Jesus' return. So the third thing here under this is a catastrophe. A catastrophe. But to the subverting of the hearers. And Paul knew the danger of such unprofitable debates, and it would negatively affect the health of the church, because it gets our focus, our attention, our everything off of what truly matters. And the word subverting here comes from the Greek word catastrophe. Such unprofitable debates can and will bring catastrophic effects on the church, endangering their spiritual well-being. How are we going to grow, right? And we're talking about getting ready, obedient worshipers. How are we going to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ? That was 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. How are we going to grow in Jesus if we're focused on things that mean nothing? You won't. You will not. In fact, it's like you're just withering away. The need for doctrinal purity, the need for the pure Word of God cannot be stressed enough. And you know what? We as the church, we as the believers, we as the body of Christ ought to be guarding it with everything that we've got. It's got to be guarded at all costs. Sound biblical preaching and teaching is not just needed in the church. It's essential if the church is going to remain spiritually healthy. It is. That's why we don't like pick topics to preach on today. We just preach through the Word of God, right? And He just speaks to us right out of His text. So our second point today in verse 15, we'll get through this and then we'll be done, I promise, is the duty to study. The duty to study. Verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Here Paul offers a very simple yet complex answer to defend against false doctrine. And if you turn with me over to chapter 4 of the same book and look at verses 1 through 4 of 2 Timothy, it says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, whom shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season, rebuke, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Why? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. You guys live in the same world I live in today? Yeah. This is what Paul was speaking of as he was teaching young Timothy. And I think the closer and closer we get to the end, the more and more we're going to see this. Well, I don't need to hear about your Jesus, right? I don't need to hear that. Or even believers turning away from the truth, saying, nah, you know what? I just don't believe that anymore. You will find yourself in a situation with someone at some point where you will be under attack with false teaching. Someone will be speaking something that's got just a little bit of truth in it, but most of it's not true. And you know why we need to study to show thyself approved unto God? You know why we need to study God's word? So that we can identify stuff that's not true. And the sad part is that many will never even know that someone is sharing something with you that's not true. Because it sounds sexy, right? You turn on the radio and you listen to a preacher, you turn on the TV and you listen, and you don't know them. You know nothing about them, but you're just like, man, this dude, he can really spit the word, right? But do you know if it's true? Can you identify that? Because it's dangerous. Because you're putting it in, right? And you know what? Sometimes it's so sexy that you're like, I think I kind of believe that. That was presented in a way that I had never heard before. And that's dangerous. And I'm not saying God's word should be boring. It shouldn't. It should not ever be boring. But man, just be careful. You need to study God's word. Or if you hear something, a message, and you're taking notes and you go back, you should go back and study that out. You should. You should be like, well, wait a minute. I don't know if I agree with that. And God's word definitely doesn't agree with that. That's what's so awesome, is that we all have God's word and we can all check the answers. When I was going through high school, if a teacher would have told me something, I would have believed him because I wasn't listening to him. I just wrote it down, right? And I would have learned about as much as I was learning anyway. I would have never went back and checked the answers. And then God gave me a new life. And I'm like, oh, well, this is totally awesome. And I want to know the answers. And I want to listen. And I want to grow. And it's every believer's duty to study God's word. It's our choice if we will or will not do that, though. But God did not preserve his word to sit on the dash of your pickup truck or on the shelf for you to grab on Sunday mornings as you head out to New Life. That's not what he preserved it for. As a centerpiece on your coffee table or on your kitchen table. No, he preserved this for us to get in, man, and to get swimming around in. He wants us to do that and to be diligent with it and to open it up, put on your spiritual swimming suit, right? And man, dive in head first every day. Some of us were, okay, so when we were at camp, the water was pretty nice, okay? But I'm a sissy. So, you know, the first thing an old dude does is, whoo-hoo, I don't know. And the kids are like, come on in, it's great. And so I'd go in and, you know, the closer that the water comes up your body, you're like, hey, this is it, this is as far as I'm going, right? I think that believers are a lot like that too. Not today. Okay, I'll get in a little bit, right? And you know what? As I was standing there being made fun of by most of our boys, they're like, just jump in the water. And I knew that, all right? I'm 41 years old. I'm not stupid. I know that if I would just jump in. But it's just like, this is going to be painful. But you know what? Once you just dive in, it's so refreshing. It takes your breath away, right? You're like, oh. But then it's just like, why did I stand there for so long looking like a fool, right? Why did I wasted so much time that I could have been swimming around? I could have been in God's word for so much longer, but I didn't want to go more than ankle deep. I was scared. Because I didn't know where it was going to lead me. And then finally, you know what? Sometimes it takes somebody to just come beside you and get in the water, right? I needed, in my life, I had to have someone physically come, not physically, maybe it was, I don't know, come along and just keep using their size 12 and just keep going, right? And before long, I was like, oh, I get it. We need each other to do that. Not to make fun of the pasty, white, fat, overweight 41-year-old standing in the lake saying, just jump in, but to just come alongside and say, man, the water's great. Let's go swimming. And sit down and have a cup of coffee and get in the God's Word and swim around in it. And it just refreshes us. And you know what? God's Word's painful too, right? Because it divides and it conquers and it does what it will. But I promise you, it will refresh you. I love that about God's Word. And I love how He reminds us of things like that as we're standing in a physical world, but He brings so much spiritual things to our remembrance. This text says, to study thyself approved unto God, not to me, not to the church, not to your husband, not to your wife, not to your parents. Study thyself to show thyself approved unto God. God. Oftentimes in church today, we see those that want to flaunt their biblical knowledge and make sure everyone knows that they got the greatest handle on the Word. And man, I've memorized 7 books of the Bible. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But I don't think we need to be flaunting that. Knowledge puffeth up, right? Head explosion. That would be gross. That would be disgusting. Here's the thing, though. A lot of times is that 18 inches between your head and your heart. It's plugged up. And you, man, if it's here, man, this is like, when we were at camp, we had like 2 pages of memory verses for memorized in 2.5 days. Obviously, it probably wasn't going to happen, right? So, but what we didn't want was them to go, okay, but, and then forget it. Those are words of no profit, right? Because they don't remember anything. They bet they got some candy, right? They got some gummy worms. And no, we want it to get to here. And it might take all weekend to memorize one verse, and that's completely cool. Because you'll never forget that. Man, I remember I was at Palm de Terre Lake, and I remember this verse. I memorized this, and God uses that verse in my life all the time when I'm struggling or I'm going through something. And He pulls that right out. If it's here, it's going to get pushed out. It needs to go down. God knows the hearts and desires of those that want to be puffed up, right? There's a mindset in many churches today that the preacher and the teachers do all the studying. That's their job. And you know what? That's true. There's truth there. It's also truth that the body of Christ should be doing it as well. The members. We ought to all be studying God's Word. Pastors and teachers are to equip the saints. But it's also the saints' responsibility to take the Word to the world, to go and teach others. And how are they going to do that unless they preach it? How will they meet Jesus unless you introduce them to them? And we know Romans chapter 10, and we could go there, but for sake of time, go read Romans 10, 8 through 15. And you know what? We all have a job to do. And we need to be sharing truth so that people can hear the truth, so they can call upon the truth, so that they can be set free. You got to be diligent to study, to prepare for the opportunities that our awesome God gives us each and every day. You know what? He doesn't just give it to the leadership team of New Life Baptist Church. No, He gives all of us opportunities. I hear of these opportunities, and I hear, man, I got to share the gospel with somebody at work today. I got to just speak some truth to somebody. They were struggling, and I shared a verse with them. Praise Jesus, because that's what we need to be doing. We're to be found faithful in God's Word. We should all desire to be approved unto God. God has given us His Word, and we are to use it. And we will stand before Him one day. We oftentimes talk about standing before God, and we'll give an account for what we did or didn't do. Have you ever thought about the account you're going to give to what you did or didn't do with what the most important thing that He left for us besides Jesus Christ, right? Right here. And He says, well, what did you do with the Word? I took really good care of it. Man, you should see how, man, it still looks brand new. Keep it in a box, take it out. We go to church and we put it back in the box because we don't want anything to happen to it. Well, guys, they sell more Bibles, and we'll give you Bibles. Wear them suckers out. Give them away, right? do whatever it is, and we'll keep supplying you with God's word, because I don't care if we have to spend every dime we have in order to get God's word into the hands of people. We'll do it. We will, because that is what is going to change lives. And when you stand before him one day and he says, man, you were on fire for my word. Gosh, you were so passionate with sharing it with everyone that you came in contact with. Well done. What greater thing to be well done about than his word? So there comes some assurance here in the text. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Right? A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. In Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. But oftentimes we say that. I'm not ashamed, but then we do not speak it. You're ashamed because you're not speaking it. If we are not willing to speak truth to those that are around us, that God puts in our path, we are ashamed of it. And we think of ashamed like embarrassed, but often it's just because we're just disobedient. That's what it is. Because God has given you the power to overcome that fear, right? That fear does not come from God. He says, nah, I give you power and a love and a sound mind, and I give you the ability to take my word to the people. Don't be ashamed of it. Did you know that we will only proclaim what we truly know? We will only share, we will only teach, I can't say that truthfully, because sometimes you can fake it till you make it, but I seriously doubt you take God's word that you don't know, and you go and try to, you're not going to go and try to engage with somebody with it, because you don't know how to use your weapon. You don't know how to use it. This would be like giving your two-year-old a whatever and saying, shoot this gun. They can't even hold the gun. Paul's telling Timothy here that a workman that puts the work in to study out the word will have confidence in it. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. And when we have confidence, then and only then will we engage. There's a reason that there's a training period in the military. I didn't go to the military, but there's a training period in the military. Why? So the people can have confidence in what they need to be using and what they need to be doing, so they can go and execute the task at hand. Okay? Aside from the military, the church is the same way. What? D1, what is this? Well, come get plugged in with that. Learn how to begin to handle God's word and get a handle on that. D2, what is that? Well, sign up if you've been through D1, and you're going to get some more understanding, some more in-depth. You're going to learn how to, man, there's some different things and different ways that I can understand God's word. And then it just keeps going. There's so many more. Bible Institute, there's so many, many opportunities in order to get equipped, in order to understand how to use this thing. But it has to start here. It has to start with us. The church is full of unconfident people, which in return brings about a stagnant body. And I'm not just talking about this, I'm talking about the church as a whole. A body that will not engage in the battle that is laid before us. And there's no reason to be ashamed. We have what we need in God's word. So why do we not desire to get in the water? Why? Last week, as I opened up camp on Thursday night with the word, I used one passage, and I just want to turn with me. We're almost done. Psalm chapter 1. Psalms chapter 1. Our theme for this year, obviously, is grow. So we carried that. I carried that on into camp. And in Psalm chapter 1, verse 1, it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And verse 3, I really keyed in on verse 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Are we like this tree? Are we like this tree that grows in the water? Are we planted next to this. You know, I referenced the youth are like, yeah, I know we already heard this, but you notice if you go to a pond and somebody doesn't take care of their pond, and usually around a pond there's a certain type of tree, the willow tree, right? And what is that? That thing likes to grow in the water. It likes to be in the water. And you know, some trees, you put them in the water, they die. Look at Truman Lake, right? But there's willows all over Truman Lake because they strive in the water. They're like, I don't want to just be planted next to the water. Put me in the water. And if we as believers would be like that, and not just every once in a while dip our toe in just to get in a little bit of refreshing, because that's what happens, right? We get a little, I got my word. Okay, well, let's go. But if we would be like, I want to be planted. I want to be planted to where my roots will grow and flourish. And to when the waves of this world and the earthquakes and whatever it is come along, I'm planted. You ain't moving me. I am solid in this water. I am in the Word of God. And I am like that tree planted by the river of water. And that water not only gives nutrients to that tree, man, but it gives it the substance it needs in order to produce fruit. And what does that fruit do? It goes out. And that fruit reproduces. And if we would be that tree in someone's life, man, I think, I know things would change in our lives and those lives as well. All of God's creation understands the need for water in their lives, right? We, as human beings, understand I can only go 3 days without water and then I'm going to die. So I need a drink of water. My throat's dry. What do? I get a drink of water. God created us to understand the need for that. But he also created us to understand the need for the spiritual water. Right? Well, I won't surely die. No, but man, you're going to wither up and look like a nasty old prune. A spiritual prune. And nobody, raisins are the nastiest thing in the whole entire world. I'm sorry, but they are. And I don't want to look like one. Sorry, I don't like raisins, and they're just nasty. But it's okay for us to not get in the water and for us to look like raisins, right? To just be nasty. It's okay for that. We laugh, but how often? We're not walking around like, no, what were those singing raisins? The California raisins? We don't look like them, right? They were cool. But oftentimes we do. We just walk around all pruned up, bitter, just hate the world. You spend any time with Jesus? No. I hate that too, right? Because we're walking in the flesh and we act like psychopaths. I can tell you this because it happens, okay? We're walking around and we just hate everything. And everything's against me and I just can't accomplish anything. Oh. Then we get in the water. And a little, man, it begins to change us again. It revives us. Praise the Lord that God's grace pours out on us. Because we have to have that. Because we're just so stubborn sometimes. Okay, the end of this verse states that rightly dividing the word of truth, and I'll be done. I'm sorry. We're over time. Some of us in this room may have no idea what this even means, okay? And I'm gonna do diligence to this next week because I'm not gonna rush through this. But we will understand what Paul is saying here when he says rightly dividing the word of truth. And because we have to understand this, church, okay? We have to understand what is Paul meaning, rightly dividing the word of truth. I understand that my Bible has different names for the chapters, and I understand that there's an Old Testament and a New. We'll spend some time next week as we'll just hold pause here, okay? And then we will begin here and get through verse 18 next week because we need to spend some time there. We need to get an understanding of that. And there's no way that we were going to get there. So let's pray.